Greetings, this is Tyler Mercuters with your News Gazette, dated Friday, May 1st, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with a large picture exhibit, What's Cool in School? Achievements Unlocked. And above, C.K. Cavamvilla reveals at Thursday afternoon's third annual Centennial High Avid Decision Day ceremony that he will attend Parkland College and Eastern Illinois University in the future, studying computer science. And then another picture, members of the Urbana High School Parent-Teacher-Student Association received special recognition during Urbana's mayoral recognition program. And then the top picture is a bunch of students at a table with some bags in front of them, and then one youngster is holding up a piece of paper with Eastern and Parkland's logo on it. Then the other picture is a bunch of, members of the Parent-Teacher-Student Association, standing in a line, and they all look real happy. And the next front page story is University of Illinois seed bank relocation proposed once more. Many experts question move, register their opposition to it. Story by Luke Taylor. For the second year in a row, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's budget plan includes funds to move corn and soybean seed banks away from the University of Illinois campus. Currently, the UI hosts the National Soybean Germplasm Collection, which is the only public soybean seed bank in the country, as well as the Maize Mutants Stock Center, an invaluable collection for maize research. These are incredible resources that have been curated by the scientists here in Urbana-Champaign, and it's not just a matter of finding a freezer or a refrigerated room in another location around the Midwest, said Lisa Ainsworth, C.A. Ewing Chair of Crop Physiology in UI's College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. Accounting for these 22,000 lines, trying to move them to a location with nothing happening to that seed along the way would be a huge challenge. Then losing the very qualified people who take care of these lines would also be a huge blow to our soybean system and also to maize. These collections allow researchers to tap into genetic variation and to help important crops adapt to new diseases, new pests, new regions, and changing environments. Ainsworth said it's estimated that less than 1% of the soybean collection contributes more than 90% of the genetics of commercially available germplasm. The budget, as proposed by President Donald Trump, would see the maize collection and soybean collection moved to Ames, Iowa, home to Iowa State University, and to Columbia, Missouri, home of the University of Missouri. The overall intention of the annual budget is, of course, to make the best use of available funds and save money where possible. However, those involved see far more loss than potential gain, both from a financial perspective and with the associated risk of losing experts and the seed samples themselves. I haven't seen anything that makes sense in terms of the rationale, Ainsworth said. It's always said that it's a budgetary move, that somehow this would be something that would cut costs. I think that's very questionable. Not only would it be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to repair losses to the collections, she said, but the facilities in which they are currently held have already had extensive projects completed to make them the ideal storage locations. Most of that is not something you can put on the back of a truck and transfer, Ainsworth said. It isn't just UI or even just Illinois experts looking to keep the seed banks where they are. The American Soybean Association, the Illinois Soybean Association, and comparable organizations from 19 other states all signed off on a letter urging U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins to support allowing the work with the germplasm collections to continue uninterrupted. Ainsworth said this collection doesn't just matter to researchers, but to farmers and the industry as a whole. While these collections are publicly funded resources, she said, the ability to help crops adjust to various conditions has a vital impact on the local and national economy. The next front page story is $8.5 million project. 1 mile stretch of South Mattis closing for 8 months. Story by Jana Wiersema out of Champaign. Starting Monday, A 1 mile stretch of South Mattis Avenue will be closed for 8 months as crews work on a multi-million-dollar road improvement project. The arterial will be fully closed from Windsor Road to Curtis Road for the duration of the work, which city officials expect to run from May 4th to December 4th. The plan is to begin construction at the north end and work southward. Detours will be marked, and neighborhoods and businesses located along Curtis will generally be accessible via Duncan Road or Prospect Avenue. Motorists are advised to be cautious when driving near the work zone. Planned improvements include upgrading the corridor to arterial street standards with new concrete pavement, curb and gutter, storm sewers, street lighting, on-street bike lanes, and a multi-use path, city officials said. Funding sources for the about $8.5 million project include local funds and federal funds administered by the Illinois Department of Transportation. The contractor is William Charles Construction of Rockford. Turning now to national and world news. U.S. government, record shutdown at end. Trump signs bipartisan bill funding Homeland Security shortly after House approves it. Out of Washington in the AP. President Donald Trump swiftly signed bipartisan legislation Thursday to fund much of the Department of Homeland Security, but not its immigration enforcement operations, shortly after the package won final approval in the House, ending the longest agency shutdown in history. The quick action after weeks of political blame brought an abrupt end to the months-long standoff that began after Trump's deadly immigration crackdown in Minneapolis launched a reckoning on Capitol Hill over the funding for the president's agenda. Homeland Security has been without routine funds since February 14th, causing hardship for workers, though many of the immigration enforcement operations were able to keep running with separate funding sources. The White House had warned that temporary funding Trump had tapped to pay Transportation Security Administration and other agency personnel would soon run out. Some employees risked missed paychecks in May. "It is about damn time," said Representative Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut, the top Democrat on the House Appropriations Committee, who proposed the bipartisan bill more than 70 days ago. The House call swiftly voted by voice earlier Thursday, without a formal roll call, to pass the measure. The movement in Congress comes as Homeland Security is under intense scrutiny after Trump ousted Kristi Noem as the department's leader, installing Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen in the middle of the shutdown. The agency counts some 260,000 employees across TSA, the Coast Guard, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and other operations. Many workers have endured repeated turmoil, with potential furloughs and pay lapses as the congressional stalemate dragged on. This shutdown came on the heels of last year's government-wide closure, which itself had set a record of 43 days. Countless employees have struggled with bills or simply quit their jobs. Trump's deportation strategy fueled dispute. In the aftermath of the fatal shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy, both U.S. citizens, by federal agents during protests against the immigration actions in Minneapolis, Democrats refused to fund U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the Border Patrol without changes to those operations. At the same time, Republicans would not go along with a plan pushed by Democrats to fund TSA and the other parts of Homeland Security without the money for ICE and Border Patrol. They insisted that immigration operations must not be singled out. After the shutdown intensified, with hours-long lines at airport security screening, the Senate unanimously approved the bipartisan package without the immigration-related funds in a middle-of-the-night vote a month ago. Then the bill languished in the House. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, himself had called the legislation a joke. To break the impasse, Republican leaders in both the House and Senate decided to tackle the immigration enforcement funding on their own through what is called budget reconciliation, a cumbersome weeks-long process ahead. By beginning that path with a separate vote late Wednesday night, adopting a GOP budget resolution to eventually provide $70 billion for immigration and deportation operations for the remainder of Trump's term through 2029, Johnson was able to unlock the broader bipartisan bill for the rest of Homeland Security. Johnson acknowledged Thursday that while he had trashed the bipartisan bill before, the new budget process ensured that the immigration enforcement money eventually will flow with no crazy Democrat reforms. "We threw a fit," the speaker said. "We had to." But not all Republicans were pleased. During the quick floor action Thursday, Representative Chip Roy of Texas said isolating the immigration-related money on a separate track is offensive to the men and women who serve in ICE and Border Patrol and are serving this country every single day. White House warned paychecks at risk again. The White House had urged Congress this week to act, warning that the money Trump tapped to temporarily pay TSA and other workers through executive actions was drying up. Immigration enforcement workers have largely been paid through the flush of new cash, some $170 billion, that Congress approved as part of Trump's tax cuts bill last year. Others, including at the TSA, have had to rely on Trump's intervention through executive action to ensure their paychecks. Most of its employees are considered essential and have remained on the job. But with salaries topping a combined $1.6 billion every 2 weeks, Mullen said recently that the money was dwindling. On Thursday, he said in a social media post that the shutdown never should have happened. More than 1,000 TSA officers have quit since the shutdown began. According to Airlines for America, the U.S. Airlines trade group that on Wednesday called on Congress to fully fund the Cabinet Department. Everett Kelly, national president of the American Federation of Government Employees, said while workers are pleased that Congress finally stepped up to do their jobs and fund DHS, it is unacceptable that it took them this long to do so. He said federal employees are not political pawns. They are not leverage. They are Americans, and they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. Complicated budget strategy ahead. The go-it-alone strategy under the budget resolution process is the same that was used last year to approve Trump's tax cuts bill, which all Democrats opposed. With the budget resolution now adopted by the House and Senate, lawmakers will next draft the actual $70 billion ICE and Border Patrol funding bill, with voting expected in May. Trump has said he wants it on his desk by June 1st. The next story on national and world news is Senate bans members, their staffs, from bets on prediction markets. Story by Nina Heller and Savannah Berman out of CQ Roll Call, TNS. And story out of Washington. Senators will now be barred from trading on prediction markets after adopting a resolution by unanimous consent Thursday afternoon. It's the latest in a flurry of efforts to quash insider trading by government officials as prediction markets grow in popularity. Led by Senator Bernie Moreno, Republican of Ohio, the resolution adopted Thursday changes the standing rules of the Senate, adding a ban on buying and selling contracts tied to the outcomes of specific events. "My issue is, let's clean up Congress. If there are going to be guardrails in prediction markets, that's a longer conversation that should have hearings," Moreno said. "But we don't want to wait until that. We just wanted to clean up Congress." Lawmakers in both chambers have introduced several bills this year aiming to prohibit trading on prediction markets by government officials, including in the executive branch and beyond. But Moreno's resolution applies solely to the Senate and is merely a change to its rules, not the passage of a law regulating the markets. It applies to senators and their staffs, but does not extend to the House, which has separate rules governing its own members. "We're urging the House and the executive branch to do the same," said Senator Alex Padilla, Democrat of California. "When senators violate the chamber's rules, they can, in theory, face penalties imposed by colleagues, like censure and expulsion, but that rarely happens in practice. I think the last thing anybody here who's serving wants to do is be referred to the Ethics Committee for an investigation that would be the end of their political career, Moreno said. How to handle prediction markets has become a pain point for lawmakers, especially as users score big payouts from well-timed trades before sensitive events. There's not a phone here that's not a casino these days, so maybe we need some rules of the road for predictive markets, said Senator Tom Tillis, Republican of North Carolina. On the next page of National and World News, Mideast conflict, defiant declaration. Iran's supreme leader vows to protect his nation's nuclear missile capabilities. Story out of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates in the AP. Iran's supreme leader defiantly vowed Thursday to protect the Islamic Republic's nuclear and missile capabilities, which U.S. President Donald Trump has sought to curtail through airstrikes and as part of a wider deal to cement the war's shaky ceasefire. In a statement read by a state television anchor, Ayatollah Mojtaba Khamenei said the only place Americans belonged in the Persian Gulf is at the bottom of its waters, and that a new chapter was being written in the region's history. Khamenei has not been seen in public since taking over as supreme leader following the killing of his father in the war's opening airstrikes. His remarks come as Iran's economy is reeling, and its oil industry is being squeezed by a U.S. Navy blockade halting its tankers from getting out to sea. The world economy is also under pressure as Iran maintains its chokehold on the Strait of Hormuz, through which a fifth of all crude oil is transported. On Thursday, the global benchmark for oil, Brent crude, traded as high as $126 a barrel. That shock to oil supplies and prices is putting pressure on Trump, who is floating a new plan to reopen the critical passageway used by the U.S.'s Gulf allies to export their oil and gas. Under the plan, the U.S. would continue its blockade on Iranian ports while coordinating with allies to impose higher costs on Iran's attempts to subvert the free flow of energy, according to a senior administration official who spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to comment publicly. In a cable sent Tuesday, the U.S. State Department instructed American diplomats around the world, except those in Belarus, China, Cuba, and Russia, to seek their host government's support for the Trump administration's call for assistance in establishing a maritime freedom construct that would ensure free and unimpeded access to shipping through the strait. This commitment reflects broad international consensus on the need for coordinated action to counter Iranian maritime provocations and ensure navigational rights and freedoms in the Strait of Hormuz, said the cable, a copy of which was obtained by the Associated Press on Thursday. The initiative, being led by the State Department and the Pentagon Central Command, is a fundamentally defensive response to protect the rights of all countries to navigate international waters freely and safely, and to hold Iran accountable for its aggressive and illegal actions to impede the free flow of commerce, the cable said. At the same time, Trump has also floated possible changes to U.S. troop presence in allied countries in Europe. The day after the president announced his administration was conducting a review on potentially reducing the U.S. troop presence in Germany, he was asked by a reporter whether he'd weigh pulling U.S. forces out of Italy and Spain, which have sparred with the U.S. over use of bases for Iran-related operations. "Why shouldn't I?" Trump said. "Italy has not been of any help to us, and Spain has been horrible, absolutely horrible." Ceasefire shaken. The U.S. blockade, which as of Thursday has turned back some 44 commercial vessels, according to U.S. Central Command, is designed to prevent Iran from selling its oil, depriving it of crucial revenue while also potentially creating a situation where Tehran has to shut off production because it has nowhere to store oil. A recent Iranian proposal would push negotiations on the country's nuclear program to a later date. Trump said one of the major reasons he went to war was to deny Iran the ability to develop nuclear weapons. Iran has long maintained its program is peaceful, though it enriched uranium at near weapons-grade levels of 60%. Pakistan said Thursday it was still facilitating indirect talks between the U.S. and Iran aimed at easing tensions, but that Islamabad would also welcome direct communication between the two sides, even by phone. If the two parties can engage in real-time conversations, that could ease the sticking points. Tahir Andrabi, a spokesman for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, said at a weekly news briefing. He declined to share details of any Iranian or U.S. proposals. Speaking to mark Persian Gulf Day in Iran, Khamenei's remarks signaled that nuclear issues and the country's ballistic missile program wouldn't be traded away. 90 million proud and honorable Iranians inside and outside the country regard all of Iran's identity-based, spiritual, human, scientific, industrial, and technological capacities, from nanotechnology and biotechnology to nuclear and missile capabilities, as national, Khamenei said. Khamenei referred to America as the Great Satan, a long-hurled insult by Iranian leaders toward the U.S. since the 1979 Islamic Resolution. Khamenei speaks about straight. In his remarks, Khamenei seemed to signal Iran would maintain its control over the waterway, which sits in the territorial waters of Iran and Oman. Iran had been charging some ships reportedly $2 million apiece to travel through. He said that Iran's control of the Strait of Hormuz will make the Gulf more secure, and that Tehran's legal rules and new management of the strait will benefit all the region's nations. However, the world considered the strait an international waterway, open to all without paying tolls. Gulf Arab nations, chief among them the United Arab Emirates, have decried Iran's control of the strait as akin to piracy. And we can turn to our communities. We're going to look at Capital News, Illinois. Senate Committee advances bill for prescription privacy. Story by Nicole Heitrek and UIS Public Affairs Reporting out of Capital News, Illinois. A bill to strengthen privacy protections for transgender and abortion patients passed a Senate committee Wednesday in a 9-4 partisan vote. Senate Bill 4834 would remove testosterone from the state's prescription monitoring program, which otherwise exists to protect against misuse of addictive controlled substances. It would also prohibit the Department of Human Services from adding estrogen, abortion medications mifepristone and misoprostol, and drugs commonly referred to as hormone suppressants to the program. The state's prescription monitoring program was established in the 1980s to prevent people from getting multiple prescriptions of addictive medications by going to different doctors. The program monitors prescriptions for controlled substances such as painkillers used as painkillers, such as oxycodone and morphine. The program also requires dispensers to submit records for people who have been prescribed certain controlled substances. SB 4834 would also purge IDHS records of the prescribing or dispensing of testosterone. That information would still be part of a patient's medical records. State Senator Adrian Johnson, Democrat of Buffalo Grove, the sponsor of the bill, said medical privacy is an essential right to protect. "It's no secret that the transgender community has been the target of hate for years," she said in a Thursday news conference. "It's not difficult to imagine that this data could be used to target transgender individuals who take testosterone." Testosterone was classified as a Schedule III controlled substance in the 1990 Anabolic Steroids Control Act to crack down on performance-enhancing drug use in sports. But the hormone has several medical uses for treating low testosterone levels: breast cancer patients, muscle atrophy, and hormone replacement therapy for trans people. It can be addictive when misused, but gender-affirming care is normally monitored closely by doctors. Tracking individuals for seeking hormone replacement therapy undermines both medical confidentiality and personal freedom, Johnson said. "Everyone deserves the ability to make informed healthcare choices without unnecessary intrusion." The bill also protects abortion patients' access to abortion medication, both mifepristone and misoprostol. Those drugs are not considered controlled substances, but Louisiana in 2024 reclassified them as such so the state could restrict patients from obtaining the pills for abortions. The bill preempts potential similar action in Illinois. Those drugs also have important medical uses for managing miscarriages, inducing labor, and treating postpartum hemorrhage. Experts have voiced concerns that increased oversight and scrutiny could deter doctors from prescribing the pills because abortion is already severely restricted in Louisiana. And we'll turn now to history, because we have a few minutes. Area history. In 1926, the reputation of Carl Frederick Neef, a former resident of Leverett, 13 miles north of Urbana, was staunchly defended by friends who returned to the area with his body, which was buried in Yearsley Cemetery. Neef was hit by a train and killed in Albion, Michigan. His friends hotly deny local reports that his death was a suicide, claiming that, after an evening with relatives and feeling in the best of spirits, Neef was blinded by the headlight of one train and inadvertently stepped in front of another while crossing a railroad track. In 1976, at least two grocery stores will be the target of picketing led by the Champaign-Urbana Committee to support the farm workers. The Kirby IGA, 312 West Kirby Avenue in Champaign, and Springfield IGA, 306 West Springfield Avenue in Urbana, have been singled out because there is less chance protesters will be forced to leave, according to Michael Brune, a member of the committee. Brune said the protest has been organized because the grocers carry Sunmade, Sunsweet, and Diamond products. Lobbyists representing Sunmade and Sunsweet, which owns Diamond, were reportedly instrumental in blocking funds to the Agricultural Labor Relations Advisory Board in California. In 2011, at the Solo Cup plant in East Urbana, where disposable plastic and recycled material cups are made, production was shifted to a 24 hours a day, 7 day a week operation, and neighbors have noticed. Illinois has standards for industrial noise pollution, but the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency does not enforce them. The city of Urbana's noise ordinance prohibits certain activities like squealing tires, excessive honking of car horns, and similar sounds, but not noise from industry. In international history, today's highlight, on May 1, 2011, President Barack Obama announced the death of Osama bin Laden during a U.S. commando operation, which took place in Abbottabad, Pakistan, in the early morning hours of May 2 local time. On this date in 1866, 3 days of race-related rioting erupted in Memphis, Tennessee, as white mobs targeting black people, 46 of whom were killed, along with two whites. In 1931, the Empire State Building was dedicated in New York City. It would be the world's tallest building for 4 decades. And we will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of your News Gazette, dated Friday, May 1st, 2026. Please stay tuned.